1998. And here the first reason is lack of informed consent to Kenyan. This goes back to what you mentioned yesterday. It goes back to your question about acquiring. We got into a whole tangent yesterday. So it says over here, a modern woman would in no way agree to the Kenyan acquisition nature of marriage, which according to this ad seems to constitute some form of slavery.
Whoa.
Thus, and here the ad is being quoted, there is no informed consent by women to Kenyan at this time of marriage, and the marriage is void ab initio. Who knows Latin? Anybody? From the beginning. Give me Mamaloshim. From the beginning, it's butler from the Mekara. Okay? And it says over here, this is not correct. A man does not acquire his wife as he acquires a car, a cow, or a slave. Okay? Aisha Niknes is only the form of marriage. Let me tell you a story. It reminds me of the story. The story goes back. It goes back to 1967, a long time ago. I was the Talmud in Shivat Karen B'Yavne. And we learned Ksubis. We learned Ksubis Torah from Rosh Chodesh Elo all the way until Pesach. And it was a leap year, so it was a Mamadim. I brought Chazoyfa to finish Ksubis. And we learned Be'iyu, and then it was Gevaldik. After Pesach, they saw Kiddush. Good. So, one day I was going on a bus from Yerushalayim to Karen B'Yavne. And those days I was a Shtikl Masvid. So I had a Gemara open in front of me. And you learn the first parak of Kiddushin. What's the first parak of Kiddushin called? It's the longest parak in Shas. Aisha Niknes. Okay. So some lady sits down next to me. I didn't pay any attention. Fine. All of a sudden I hear from her. Slicha. Ken. I'll give you the dialogue in Hebrew the best I remember. Ken. Efshar l'shol shela. Ken. Mazot omeret ha'isha niknet. And see what's going on over here. I had to explain to her what it said long before I signed this ad. This is more than 30 years before I signed the ad. I was a kid. But I still told her what it says in this ad. That the form is, you give it, put a ring on the finger, kigach ishisha, but chalila v'chas, he doesn't own a wife the same as he owns, what did it say over here? A car, a cow, or a slave. Of course, it's a good thing that the woman didn't look further in the Mishnayos. After Isha Niknes, the first Mishnah and the base. The next Mishnah says what? Eved Ivri Niknes. The next Eved is what? Eved Kanani Niknes. What's the next Mishnah? Behema Niknes. But okay. But she didn't look at the Mishnah. She only looked at the top. Okay. I'll tell you, that was a story. So this, but it's really true. It was really true. As a matter of fact, what does it forbid? It forbids relations with and precludes marriage to anyone other than her husband. And when a woman marries, she does agree to these restrictions and therefore is married to her husband. Well, saying as Rabbi Osai, that marriage from our perspective does not mean what is sometimes called in the outside world open marriage. Have you heard that word? You heard of it. It's not good. Open marriage means, you know, well, I'm married to you, but I have the freedom by mutual consent to live with any other man or woman that I want. So, we don't believe in that. There was once a rabbi who suggested that in certain, secular parts of society, even if a person happens to be Jewish, and he's Jewish and she's Jewish, but they belong to the secular society in which quote-unquote open marriage is the norm. I tremble even thinking about such a concept. But apparently, again, I haven't gone out there on the internet. Maybe you can find out if open marriage is a norm in certain parts of society, or some semi-bohemian, or I don't know, the artists, or I don't know, maybe even the plain people. I don't even know what goes on out there, where they have this bohemian lifestyle, where this just everything goes. So he wanted to say, this rabbi, that if that's the case, that this couple, quote-unquote couple, both Jewish, but it's understood, even though they didn't spell it out, that the marriage is a quote-unquote open marriage, then, in fact, he said, it's not a marriage. I don't care if he put a ring on her finger and said, and I don't care if there were two Adim. It's irrelevant. If the two of them understood, wink, wink, this is an open marriage, they never intended to be married. It's a frightening concept. I hope, and in some way I shudder to think about it, from a perspective of Klal Yisrael, I hope it's not true. We don't have such marriages of a person going through a religious ceremony on that level, and at the same time expecting it to be an open marriage. But if that would be the case, maybe the rabbi is right. I don't think the facts are so. I sure hope they're not so, from the perspective of the Kiddush. Kiddush is Kiddush. This is the opposite, because this is Tumah. But I'm mentioning in passing over here, as I could finish page one of this letter. The letter is a total of 3 pages. Oh, I forgot this from yesterday. Number two. What's number two? Listen to this. Women think that when they enter marriages, the rabbis must have some way to free them from the marriage. And this is again quoting the original ad. Had these women known at the time of marriage that they were agreeing to a union in which they could be virtually imprisoned by an unscrupulous husband, they never would have consented to marriage. So they're not married. They're not married. They never agreed to be married. They thought marriage, I could walk out whenever I want. Yes?
So for all these things are set, meaning it's not like these things can be, they're not like they're ever changed, so meaning it's a problem with her not checking into it, meaning she agreed to be married, meaning when a woman agrees to do a kedusha, she's agreeing to all these things. Whether she knows that she's agreed to these things doesn't make a difference because she should have looked into it.
I'm with you 100%. But the response of the Bezin is this argument is simply wrong as a factual matter. Quote, despite the great publicity about the Aguna problem, women continue to marry, fully aware that a woman may on occasion be trapped in a bad marriage. Okay? Whatever. Moreover, like the previous argument, this argument of the new Bezin would lead to the unbelievable conclusion that no Jewish woman is married nowadays. Since no woman would enter into a marriage given the possibility she may trap in the marriage if the husband refuses to give her a get. And I guess that was read in the first page too. Somewhere. Whatever. Okay. Now three. Three is the most important of all. The first two are just wild. Wild. I mean, as you said, they're wild. Three requires a more careful response. What's three? Kedusha Tos, Rav Moshe. Didn't we read Chelek Aleph Simon Pei yesterday? That we read in Shia yesterday? By a person who was a Shota, right? He was there to psychiatric issues. Okay? And Rabbi Feinstein applied this rule to case of homosexuality, insanity, impotence, and considered applying in the case of hidden apostasy to the church, right? Okay, so it's a big question. When do you apply it? Don't you apply it? But at the minimum, the Bezin writes, you require 4 things. 1, a woman discovers a serious deep blemish present in her husband. 2, she was unaware of it at the time of marriage. 3, was actually present at the time of the marriage. And 4, she immediately leaves them upon discovery of the blemish. You have to have at least these 4 conditions. Now, the ad cites Truvas that would clearly require these 4 conditions, but this new Bezin is not adhering to the rules of any posek in this area. It's going much further than that. And it applies to Shetos, catch this now, to potential defects which are not yet manifested at the time of the marriage. The keyword is potential. We already saw Ramban yesterday, the Chiddush Niflin, the Ramban I told you yesterday, that maybe if it's an actual defect, not potential, it may or may not be, it has to be. Perhaps it's considered a mum, according to Ramban at least, even though it is not yet manifested automatic, an islandess. You married a girl before she became 12 years old. So, but okay, but it's not potential. And there's again a quote of the ad that this Bezin put out. Listen to this quote, verbatim quote. A bet din may recognize other intolerable defects as grounds for Kiddushei Ta'ut, including, okay, protect your fingers, guys, psychological abuse, adultery, sexual molestation, abandonment, criminal activity, substance abuse, and sadism. And the final one, the withholding of a get may be viewed as indicating a sadistic nature. So the 8th is the most wild. If the man withholds a get, so he sees a sadist, So they're not married. Goes against the whole. I don't want to use the word shas, but the whole. Oh, how much ink has been spilled trying to help women whose husbands refuse to give a get? No, they're never, never married. He's a sadist. Yes.
Are they basing their arguments on the fact that the chazak on top of the doesn't apply anymore, or are they saying
I have something that might file too. Let's just go slow. That's what they say. Okay. And there's another quotation. A Betin applying a psychoanalytic concept of human nature may hold that the seeds of such deviant behavior are present in the groom at the inception of the marriage, though they may not yet have expressed themselves in overt behavior. End quote. So here we have it. It's number one, it's a potential defect. It doesn't have to happen. And number two, it's not yet manifested. Doesn't bother them. It's still considered to be kiddushei tos. And our Bezdin goes on to explain why it's wrong. Why it's wrong. A, you cannot assume it was present early in the form of seeds. Seeds. They may remain undeveloped. Many people marry even though they are well aware of their spouse's emotional and psychological problems. Many women continue in marriage even after the aberrant behavior of their husbands becomes manifest. No? So therefore, there's no categorical assumption. We call that umdat d'nemuchach, that she would not have married him had she been aware of the problem. And then we go to this following idea. Right? This approach is completely contradicted by the extensive Talmudic and rabbinic discussion of how to procure a get from a man who wrongly withholds it. Called it up, he's never married. Okay, this is signed by Rabbi Schwartz, Shalita, the Abezdin, and I'm his assistant. I'm signed here too. Rabbi Broid, who was a Chaver Bezdin, and Rabbi Yonah Reis was at that point the Manal of the Bezdin. Now Rabbi Yonah Reis, as you know, was the Manal of our yeshiva, but at that time he was just beginning his tenure as Manal of the Bezdin. This goes back, as I said, nearly 13 years ago. The ad is over 13 years old, written on August 28th, 13 years ago, and our response is a few months later. Okay? Let's say I found it on my phone. Did they respond?
Yeah.
Yes. I have their. I'm not going to read their response. I'll leave it for you. The response is, you know, considering, you know, the weakness of their position, they tried very hard to defend themselves, and they wrote a piece. I have it here. Oh, one second. One minute. I thought I had it with me. Yes, Aguna Inc. They established a group called Aguna Inc. Okay, replies to the Bezdin of America. The four names of the rabbis are here, and I have it was faxed to me. The fax date says January 17th, 1999. It's already another 2.5 months after this. I'm not sure when it was originally written. That's when it was faxed to me, and it's a significant response. It's spanning 10 pages. I will leave it here for anyone who wants to read it to read it. And if you want, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about why I still think that our 3-page letter is more cogent than the 10-page response. You know, this is not, you know, the fact that you write more words doesn't mean you're more right. Okay? Okay, but I'm going to leave all this here for you. If you want to look at it later after Shir. I have here some ads about the gets national attention, with even a picture of the rabbis with a woman that I mentioned to you yesterday. I thought that's also here. What else do I have over here? I have a letter from Rav Moshe Feinstein going back to 1973, where he's already upset with the Orthodox rabbi who said that he no longer say Tavla Mesa, that kind of stuff. And that's over here. And I have an opinion piece by Rabbi Rachman himself, which is, I think, printed in the Jewish Week, but I'm not sure exactly what date. I don't see the date on it. I'm sure you can find it. And I have an article by Rabbi Broid, which comes from a typescript, I don't know where it was even printed, about error in the creation of Jewish marriages in modern times. Again, I don't know exactly when it was written or if or where it was ever published, but it's certainly it's a very, very well-written piece. And I mean, I'll tell you only one thing. It has 76 footnotes. So yeah, that's that itself tells you something. Okay, so that's enough. That's this file. So I'm going to put this all in one big envelope. Whoever wants to look at it, I'll leave it on the downstairs in the Beis Medrash, and feel free. It has my name and phone number on it. That may not belong to me. Okay, that's fascinating. All right. But having given this introduction, Rabbi Osai, we have to get back to our sources that we were learning yesterday in Shir, and try to figure out, again, we have to figure things out from the original sources, going through the original texts, and then we will create the bridge between the original sources that we have, you know, from Gemara Rishon as well as the Poskim. Yesterday we started with the Gemara Rishon. We got sort of sidetracked in reading the Tshuva of Moshe, and now we're going to go back and forth between Gemaras and Rishon that we have in front of us, and the Gemara Ksubas that everyone hopefully has, as well as the sources in more recent times, both the Tshuva Tzvarim or the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim as well. Okay, that's our plan to analyze the sugya in great detail. It's a very, very important sugya, as I mentioned. Okay. Rabosai, you may remember we learned the sugya on Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph. We never got a chance to look at the Tosfos, we got sidetracked with that Tshuva of Moshe. Let's open up again. Daf Samach Hei Amud Aleph is on the Maror Makomos. Samach Hei Amud Aleph. You may remember the Gemara said, in a case in which a woman married three separate men, one after the other, and she had no children from all three, and they assumed therefore was a result of her infertility, and the third man divorced her without a ksuba, because the general principle when it comes to ksuba payment is it depends who breaks up the marriage. The presumption is that the man breaks up the marriage because he's the only one who can initiate the breakup. He writes the get. By Torah law, he divorces her even against her will. She has nothing to say. So since he's the one who breaks up the marriage, he's the one who pays for the ksuba. The same as if he dies, he also breaks up the marriage. I mean, he doesn't die on purpose. It's not a question of, you know, of malice over here. But if his absence by death breaks up the marriage, his estate has to pay for the ksuba. If she dies first, there's no payment of ksuba. She broke up the marriage. Not her fault either. She died. Okay, same thing over here. If she breaks up the marriage because of her what she does, then she's not entitled to the ksuba. Since most of you have the Gemara's ksubas in front of you, let's just see where this comes from. I'm going to give a little bit of a preview, which is, this is not on the actual Maror Makomos, although you may have seen it if you saw the Rans in the Maror Makomos, because the Ran considers this Mishnah to be one long Mishnah, that Ayin Beis and ksubas. I asked you to see the Mishnah Anaf Ayin Beis and Midbeis, which you read part of it yesterday. Let's see the Mishnah Ayin Beis and Midalef, just to give you an idea. The Elu Yotzo Shalom B'Ksuba. Mishnah the Ksuba stuff Ayin Beis and Midalef. Everyone has, or guys can look on. Alright. Overas Aldas Moshe V'Yehudis. She violates the laws of Moshe or Yehudis, or Jewish women. Ezu Idas Moshe. She feeds him treif. She lives him as a nida. She doesn't separate chala, so she's again feeding him treif. And she takes vows and doesn't fulfill them. What's so terrible? She takes vows and doesn't fulfill them. The Gemara says, bonim chalina could lead to the death of the children. So these are sins which directly impact upon the marriage. It doesn't say if she's Michal Shabbos, she loses the ksuba. But these sins of feeding him treif and living with him in Nida and causing his kids to die, these are intrinsic to the marriage itself, make the marriage untenable. As a result, she loses the ksuba. Eidu das Yehudis, Yotza v'rosha perua, she uncovers her hair, which is not allowed for a married woman. Tova b'shuk, and she spins in the marketplace, which is a kind of a come hither type of an immoral, provocative stance that the women would take in those days. She flirts with everybody in the street. She curses out his parents in his presence, makes the marriage untenable. Rabbi Tarfon Amar Afa Kolanis Veizu Kolanis L'chshehi Medaberes Pesach Besa V'shcheineha Shomen Kol. Doesn't mean she's Medaberes, she's talking about the weather. People say, oh, I heard it's going to rain this afternoon, and people hear a voice. That's not grounds for termination of the marriage. The Gemara explains, B'mashmas Kol Aliske Tashmish. She's talking about having relations with them. She's screaming out, and the neighbors hear. That's obviously not an appropriate behavior, and it impacts on the very essence of the marriage. If she's done any of these things, she's forfeited her rights to the ksuba because she broke up the marriage. Are you with me? But in the normal case, where she hasn't, the presumption is that he pays the money for the ksuba. Now, having said this, Mishnah Tzanach Beis, Amid Beis, the Mishnah goes Amid Aleph, the Mishnah Amid Beis is a continuation. HaMekadesh HaSa'isha HaMenash Eina Le Nadarim Nis Le Nadarim Eina Mekudeshes. Because we saw before that Nadarim can constitute a problem. Alright, then the same thing with Mumin. Again, we're going to close Gemara Ksubas now and come back to it later. I just wanted to give you an overview to understand why the man has a right to divorce the woman who's been married three times without children without a Ksubah, because the presumption at that point is that since she married three different men had no children, must be that the infertility is hers and not theirs. Good. He divorced her ksuba. So what does she do? She married a fourth time. And guess what? Mazel tov. She's pregnant. She wants a ksuba. Hey, you get me. I want my ksuba. We tell her, shh, shah. Silence is golden. Because if you keep quiet, you'll be okay. But if you start making a tumma, asking for your ksuba, he'll say, you want your ksuba? Had I known you were fertile, I never would have divorced you. Frek the Gemara, at the very end of the narrow lines in Samachayim and Aleph, Ii shaska nami shaskinon, nimseget batal banei mamzerin. What do you mean? He divorced her on false pretenses. He assumed she was infertile. She was fertile. And therefore the get is no good, and if she remarried subsequently, the children be mamzerim. Gemara says, no. No, why not? Aminan hashtahu debriyos. When he divorced her, she was infertile. Now she became fertile. What changed? I don't know. She started taking vitamins. She started taking pills. She stopped that health. Something changed. Yes?
What's the extent of the ability to retroactively undo a get? Because then you can always say, maybe someone's going to feel bad about divorcing his wife. He decided,
Obviously, the only way we can undo a get is, again, the same as we talk about kiddushei tos. So, too, we talk about get betos. What do they have in common? What they have in common is a mistake at the time, not future, at that time. He married her, it was a mistake at the time of the marriage. He divorced her, it was a mistake at the time of the divorce. So here, the Gemara suggests it's a mistake at the time of the divorce. He thought she was infertile, she was really fertile. And the Gemara, no, then she was infertile. Now she became fertile. It's the same concept, right? Same thing with the marriage, right? I thought that then he was such, and now he became something different. There's no way to undo that marriage, as we just read before in the Bezdin state. Everyone with me so far? Now let's see the Tosfos. E shaska anan mishaskina. V'yim tomar. The tanad b'hasholech gitnaf memvov. Hamotzi ishto mishum islandis. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yachzeh v'chule. A man divorced his wife because she was an islandess. He assumed she was an islandess. So what's it then in that kind of a case? He is not permitted to take her back. Why is he not permitted to take her back? This we already saw on both sides. This din, he's not permitted to take her back, was quoted by the Tosfos and Yevamos, Dav Beis Amid Beis. If you remember the last three narrow lines, they quote this Tosfos. So we know the Tosfos already. It's being now quoted again in Tosfos and Yevamos, 60-something pages later. Now, Samachem and Alf. Okay? Nisei Sliacher V'hoyu L'bonin V'tovaz K'subasa. Oh, he divorced her thinking she's an idolatrous. She married somebody else, now has children. She obviously she's not an idolatrous, she wants a K'suba. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omala Shtikusayich Yofa Midiburayich Shah. Because if you make a tumult, we'll say to get bottled and I'm saying Frek Tosfos. Here the Gemara asks the question explicitly. There the Gemara does not ask the question. Why not? It's a good question. The Yeshlam. The Hasam came and did the Kinun L'Rabbi Yehuda. The Lo Yachzir. Because to avoid any such possibility, they made a Takonis Chazal. If a man divorces his wife because she's an islandess, he may never take her back. So what that means, we're saying to you, listen, Charlie, don't come to me later, I never would, I would have, I would. No. What do we call it today? They have in the stores a no return policy. No, really, don't come, you come back, give back within a week, get your money back, or get a, what are they going to give you a voucher or something? No. A no return policy. That's it. Finished. We made to paraphrase yesterday. Kol bo'er lo yeshuvun. You go to the church, you're not likely not coming back. Here we say to the man, you're divorcing your wife because of violence, there's no getting her back. Kach takonas chazal. No way. Okay? Leka lemecha shlekil kula. There's nothing to worry about since, Rabbi Yehuda says, since there's a takonah not to take her back, there's nothing to worry about. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbonon u'lirabbonon it says, Afal gav the yachzir, they say you may take her back. Lo chayshinan hosam l'kulkula. Why? Kevan de lo, it is a small aleph of the Bach. Kevan de lo, choshash livdog yofa. This is what you said, Ben. There's an obligation before entering into a marriage to check. And if you don't check, that means you don't care. That's obviously an overstatement. You don't care enough. Or to put it in a different way, you're so in love with this boy or girl that you definitely don't want to check because you don't want to find anything out because you want to get married. That's what it really boils down to. Think about it carefully. Love conquers all. So you throw caution to the winds. You don't do the check you're supposed to do. And you just, you know, huh? So therefore, since he didn't care to check you off of his Simone Islandis, you should have checked to see how would he check Simone Islandis. Well, I guess she has a low voice, male, you know, should have thought, why she? Well, you know, I have a bad cold. The last 3 months of courtship, or 3 months of engagement, she has this bad cold that she has. You know what I'm saying? And I guess there are other manifestations which we spoke about, some of which can be even known before marriage. Okay, and didn't check. Why? Because Goma Ledaito, here's a case where he was, take it back. He was a case he was already married to. I mistakenly gave you a case where he wanted to marry her. He was already married to her. And here, he wants a divorce. So he says, because you're an islandess. But here, it's the other way around. Apparently, he doesn't like her anymore. So he wants to divorce her. And he's not checking to make sure she has all the simon of an islandess. So Goma Bedato the Garish Becholinyan, Ulahochi Shaskina, and therefore we are quiet. We don't raise the specter of Mamzerus because the get is butler, because it's a get given under false pretense. No, he wanted to divorce, he wanted to be rid of her, and then he didn't go into all the checking to see to make sure she was in fact an analyst. He said Mishum Alice, but didn't check so well. Vichitovas, Subasa, Matsi Amala. Adato lemesav ksuba lo gerashtich. He can say, listen, I divorced you, but I didn't plan to give you the ksuba. I assumed it was your fault because you're an islandess. And if it's your fault, then I'll give you a ksuba. That was my assumption. Aval hocha deleka takana delo yachzir. Here's no takana whatsoever. Paruch Shapir. Hechi shaskina. How can we be quiet? Vafilu Rabbanan lo chai shihosam lekulkula. Rabbanan are not worried over there in Gittin Memvav. Hainu dafka besafek islandess. Tekeven lo choshash livdok yofe. Goma legarish bechol inyan. She is a safek. How do we know she was only a safek islandess? Rabbanan told us that base. What was the proof? Rabbanan, who remembers? Guys, remember? She had children at the end. Because a real islandess can never have children. Obviously, she had children at the end. There must have been a Suffolk islandess. Okay. Let's go further. Aval hocha ein biyado livdok. What do you mean ein biyado livdok? How can he tell whether she is fertile or infertile? He knows one thing. She married Reuven, had no kids. Shimon had no kids. He's Levi. You know, come on, man. This girl, this lady, she married Reuven, had no kids. She married Levi. Shimon has no kids. She married me, has no kids. Obviously, she's infertile. Can he check? That was before the, you know, fertility institutes that we have nowadays that do all kinds of fancy workups and see what the problem is. His problem, her problem, didn't exist in those days. There was no way to do any bedikas. No way. Umochiach adaber shemishum bonim motziyah shekvar nisens l'shnayim lohoyu labonim, and he's the third. Then ika kilkula ulahachi parich l'chuliyama anan mi shaskina. That's the Gemara here in Daf Samachem and Aleph. Osi nami shapi hoda mashma bashalech. That's the one getting never. Dolo motzi mekalkala. Elikisha Omar La Mishum Shemra Vineder Vailanis Ani Motziech Vahacha Afal Gab Lo Omar La Mishum Akorus Ani Motziech Motzi Mekalkala Kedipirishis. Because here, right, there's no way, for the reasons you mentioned before, there's no way to check, etc., etc., etc. So, explains Tosis to Gemara's question. What's Gemara's answer? Umeshani the hocha lo shayach kulkul at all. Why? The arminon hash tohu debreyasa. Uvisha shagirsha lo haisa ruia to have children. Aba b'shem rav v'neder v'aylanis ikil kilkula kshenizgala libisov shashem rahoya sheker v'lo haisa aylanis gametchila. Dim haisa, if she was an aylanis, Lohave Buria Liolam. She never would have been cured. It's impossible to find a cure. As a matter of fact, he tells you back, look at Tosis, not Bezim and Bez, where Tosis makes his statement. Does every single person in the world agree that there's no cure for islandists? I think every doctor probably would agree. But my Elta Zeta, Pnei Yeshua, suggests that the Rif disagrees. Perhaps we'll get to see what he says later on. Family. That's what he said. So we'll see, perhaps, and this is even a Rambam, which is on the Maram Makomas in the Shulchan Aruch, which some interpret that way. Okay, we'll get to that perhaps a little bit later. Fine, back to the Tosis. V'neder nami, kevan sheyochal lahofer ki'ilu lohoya neder. We'll get to the Dharam Sugya. We'll learn the Sugya in Mesechta Ksuvos. Ad Kanabos and the Tosis here on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph. Okay? But it's again important. He didn't check. That's a critical thing. If you had the opportunity to check and you didn't check, so then, you know, it doesn't matter enough to you. Read another few words in the Tosis. In Tome Perikama de Nida, Gabi Isha She'en Lo Veses, she has no regular period. Lo Yachzir. Afilu hoda v'itaken, and then she suddenly develops a regular period. Mishum kilkula, same idea. V'hashta v'ein neyocha l'kalkula. Why? D'yama hashtu debrius. K'damin ha'ocha. When he divorced her, she had no period. Now she has a period. Now when it says ein loves, I'm not sure what it means that she has no regular period, but she's seeing blood randomly. So according to certain sugars, they can't even live together. Does he mean ein loves that she has no blood at all? That's not what the term means, Rabbi Osai, in Shas lexicon. What if a woman has no period? I'm not taking any high school biology here. Woman has no period. Now she's 20 years old, nothing. What would you say about that? What would you say, yeah? Yeah, that's what I would normally say. She's not, the systems aren't working. It's supposed to start working at 12 approximately. So 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Nothing. Rav Moshe's a tshuva about that too. A peledik tshuva. But I don't, coming attractions. I don't want to get digress again. Remind me. Tell you about that tshuva, Rav Moshe. You can look it up yourself in the Yad Moshe or something about Tehra. Unreal. But again, not this minute. Okay, just Keep it in mind. The Omri, the Laudami, the Kilkul Bonim, Ein Refua Moeles Kolkach. If she's infertile, it's hard to find cures in those days. Vilachain, and as a result of that, since a cure is rare, Im Bishah Shagirsha, Lohaisa Basbonim, to Lo Shchiach Beis, to Lo Shchiach Shetisrape, Vigomar Umegarishla. Because he knows it's unlikely for her to be cured. Abel Kilkul divested Shchiach Lisrapos. It's common. A woman would have an irregular period. She'd become a regular period. That's common. For Lo Gomar Umegarish, the Yoma Ilio Yisgodea Shesam. Oh, that pills even then. Shesam Ovala. Had I known that with a few pills she'd develop a regular period, I never would have divorced her in the first place. Adka. This is a very important tosis, Rebos. Very, very important tosis. Okay, any questions before we proceed? Good. Now, Rebos, all the mumim and shas are about a woman. What about a mumim and a man? A mumim and a man, does that make it? Is it better? Is it worse? Let me try to undo a marriage. Is it harder to undo a marriage in this case? Or should it be easier to undo a marriage? Again, according to Rav Henkin and others, it's impossible to undo a marriage if there's a mumim in the man. It's impossible. They always say, nicha b'koldu, tav l'meisim, etc. But according to all those who say, no, it's possible. Is it harder or is it easier? What would you say? Just tell me what you think. Is it harder or is it easier? Harder. Why? Top, because it's not found in Shas. You have this Tavla Mesav concept, right? So it's harder. Good. There is a group of Gedolim who say no. Not only is it possible, but it's even easier. And what's the logic? Why should it be easier to render a marriage kiddushei tos if the woman discovers a defect in her husband than the other way around? Who wants to give me the logic? Why? Yes?
You say if he can't fulfill the tanaim the ksuba, which is, I guess, pretty logical, then he can't fulfill those tanaim, then the marriage isn't valid because then the document binding them together isn't.
Very good. That's in a case where he can't fulfill the what he promises to her in the ksuba. But many of the cases we're discussing do not rise to that level. They're just different situations. Yes?
Maybe if he's the proactive participant in the solution, then for him to marry her, it was basically sort of his fear of that, figure stuff out. Because the woman, she has to have das because he can't do the solution, all corporate.
You start off right, then you went off a little bit. Someone should raise his hand and finish up. Okay. Let me show you a marashal. If you're having more ksubis, I hope you're having with the mefarshim in the back. I asked you, I think it's on the Makarama compass, a marashal in ksubis. The marashal is found under the marasha. It's called the Chokhmas Shlomo. The Chokhmas Shlomo, under the marasha, that's the marasha of Shlomo Luria. Take a look over here, Abosai. If you have the Gemara Ksubis with the Marashal, it's the first Marashal Chokh Mashlomo on Af Ayin Hey Yom and Aleph. When the Gemara is discussing the question of whether a man wants to marry a woman because even though he can divorce her, he doesn't want to be prohibited to marry her relatives. Because once you divorce a woman, you cannot marry her sister, so she has very chosh of her sisters. So you don't want to marry her. Other way around, she doesn't want to be prohibited to his brothers, things of this nature. So the Marshal in his first comment in Afayin Hay makes the following comment. Tema, Amai Tzricha L'meisa B'kreve. Why does the Gemara say that a woman doesn't want to get married to her? We'll call her a Nadran. Someone who's always taking vows. Because she doesn't want to be prohibited to his brothers. Tepikle. Shehu lo yigar shena. Sherei ha'bal eno megarish ela lirtzono. Here it is. A man marries a woman and is a blemish, a defect. Big deal. You discover you divorce her. Remember, we did in the Gemara about saying a man can divorce his wife whenever he wants. So he doesn't lose that much. That's why we can say the marriage is a valid marriage, notwithstanding the defect that he finds in her. But if she finds a defect in him, so she's stuck. She's stuck. She's stuck. That's the Mashal. Based on the Mashal, the Noda Yehuda and Reb Chaim Oizer and Reb Moshe all have the same idea. That once you're willing to admit that a defect in the husband is grounds for Kiddushei Tos, it's even more grounds than a defect in the wife. Because a defect in the wife, she's easily repairable. Just give her a get. A defect in the husband, she's stuck. Is that interesting logic, Rabbi Osai? This is what I found, again, goes from one extreme to the other. Some say, as you said, Tavla Mesa. Others say, no. This one goes the other direction. So it cuts in two different ways. A distinction between a man and a woman, and of course one could say that they're the same. Maybe because the combination of the two factors, they just the wash. Right, we'll see soon. Some say it's exactly the same, but some distinguish in either direction. Everyone with me so far? Everyone following me? Okay? Good. Very good. Very good. We will see the words of Rav Moshe later on. I'm trying to cover some more ground, and we'll look up those words a little bit later. We mentioned before, Rabbi Osai, that there were those who deny the very existence of Kiddushei Tos with respect to any shortcoming in a man. Tavla Mesav. Much of this literature, Rabbi Osai, centers on a Gemara in the Masechta Baba Kama. I did not put Baba Kama on the Makoros. I don't want to start schlepping around too many svarim. But I did put Ksubas in the Maram Makomas, everyone had a Gemara Ksubas. And here, in case some of you don't even have Ksubas today for the moment, we can see a little bit of this Gemara in the Rishonim that are on the Maram Makomas, where this Gemara, in fact, is quoted. The Gemara is at the end of Baba Kama. And for those who have the Mordechai in the back, I assume you all have a Gemara with the Mordechai, let's turn and see what it says there. Very, very important. A remarkable case. I'm going to pick up in the middle because I want to show you the Gemara that I'm talking about. It's the Mordechai Simon Lamed, the second line. Midiparach Perak HaGozel Babakama Kuf Yudam Ebe is the last line. Ela Meyata Yevama Shenafla Lefnei Mukesh Shchin. What does Shchin mean? Boils. It's not only does a woman not want to be married to someone with Mukesh Shchin, it's even dangerous. It was medically dangerous in the time of Chazal, if you saw the Gemara in Zion and Ksubas, to live together with a Mukesh Shchin. So what will happen if a girl is married to a wonderful, wonderful man, tall, dark, and handsome, Prince Charming, but then he dies, unfortunately. No one lives forever. And then there are no children. And the Yavam is the opposite of Prince Charming. He is the ugly duckling. He's the Mukesh Shchin. She doesn't want anyone to go near this guy. Says the Gemara, Tepuk below Chalitza. She should be permitted to marry someone without chalitza. Why? The adat adahachi lo kidsha nafsha meikara. Hear a question? Had she known that she would fall for Yibam to a Mukesh Shchin, she never would have married Prince Charming in the first place. What kind of question is this? This goes against all the rules that we've said until now, right? What are the rules we said about Kiddushei Tos?
To be
has to be from the beginning. It's only a later development. What's going on over here? Umishani answers the Gemara, Meinach Nichala. She's happy to marry Prince Charming. I should make a talk with the ugly duckling. Tav the mace of Tandum and the mace of Armel. Pirish. Nichala bibal koldu. Hear pshat? She's willing to marry the husband even though the husband is a koldu. Why is the husband a koldu? Why is a husband a koldu? Husband is a gadol adar. So the simple interpretation is the husband's not the koldu. The brother's the koldu. Right? The brother's the koldu. Not that she'd want to marry this koldu in the first place, but she's willing to take a chance on being stuck with Yibam and Chalitza to this koldu in order to be able to marry Prince Charming. She hopes to have children from him, etc., etc., live a happy life together. That's the Gemara in Masechta Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yud Omen Beis and goes over to Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Omen Aleph. Any questions so far? Yes. Very good point. The very beginning of Yevamos, please turn to the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, please. Everybody learn. The Gemara and Abdalid Amud Aleph, the fifth line. Minayin li Yevamos enough of the Mukashchin. She'ein chos min osa. What do you mean, she'ein chos min osa? Rashi explains on the second line. She'ein chos min ein. What's the Bach say? Ein. Megarin bo. Shlotome iyevshi bo. We don't scold her when she says, I don't want to be married to him. That's what the Bach says. We have ein sos min tan osel lekufo lisyabem lo elakofin oso vecholets chosman lishad the kroa konaket the yalef lamilo sachsam. This week's parsha. What's the slum? Shenemar lo sachsam shor b'disho v'samach lei ki yeshu achim yachtov. That's a very famous pasuk about yibum. Right, that's, if you want to look at the pasuk, we haven't seen the pasuk yet in Chumash. You have an opportunity, and if you have on the side the Torah Or HaShalem, Dalit, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachlev U'meis Achad Mehem U'vein Ein Lo Lo Siya Eishas HaMeis HaChutz Al Yishdar Yivamo Oleo U'lekocho Lo Le'isha V'yibimo. That's a very famous pasuk, which is, he says over here, that's the Devarim Chav Hei Hei. And lo sachsam shor b'disho, it says over here, is the varim chaf hey dalit. It's a mafurish gemara, but it doesn't say there's no zika. There's no, you don't force her to do yibum. You tell him that the man has to do chalitza. No, I want yibum. I want chalitza. The tug of war. I want yibum. Yibum chalitza. Yibum chalitza. Yibum. Who wins? It's a whole shah later on in the gemara. Mitzvah yibum kodemus. Mitzvah chalitza kodemus. But Evan agrees over here in this case that Chalitza Kodemus, because she's not expected to be have to live with a Mukashchin. Okay? That's your question. Right. Yes?
Maybe before they got married, she had a responsibility to look at the guy's brothers to see if she would have.
Very good question. She should have looked at the guy's brothers and seen what she saw. Well, did she know about the guy's brothers? Presumably she did. I was at a wedding yesterday, the brother of the groom came to the wedding. Surprise. Could be in those days it wasn't that way. They had to commute longer distances. I don't know, but she should have done some inquiries. Yeah, I'm going to read you the Gemara from in the Gemara Baba Kama, just so you should be able to see what we get the whole flavor again a second time. Listen carefully, Rabosai. It's literally the last line and a half on Kufinu Medbeis. Elameyato Yevama Shenaf Lemukashchin Tebu Lo Chalitza Dadata Dehochi Lo Kitcha Atzma. It's one of the gears Lo Kitcha Nafsha. Hosam Anan Sadi. Last two words on the page. Anan Sadi. Now it continues to be less than two lines. The Meinach Nichala Bekoldahu Kirishlakish. Amishlakish Tav the Mace of Tandu and the Mace of Al. That's also That's it. Rabbi Ol said, these 3.5 lines pack a wallop. What's the Gemara's Kasha? What's the Gemara's Teretz? Obviously, there's a lot to be said about these 3.5 lines. Okay? So, but none, despite that, it's such an important Gemara. I didn't ask you to bring the Gemara Baba Kama because I asked you to see other sources where it's explicated, perhaps even in a better way. Particularly in Ksubas. Please turn to Ksubas if you don't mind. Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. I asked you to see the Tosis. Mem Zayin Amud Beis in Ksubas. Again, I have Baba Kama open in front of me, but we're going to see it together since you all have Ksubas. Who does not have Ksubas? Who does not have? You don't have Ksubas? How's that possible? I'm supposed to have Ksubas. Oh boy. What do we do now? What should we do? On the board. Okay, put it on the board. I thought everyone had. Okay. So once we're putting things on the board, let's first start with Tosfos and Baba Kama. I didn't want to be matriarch to bring a Gemara, but since we're doing on the board, Tosfos are similar. We'll start with Tosfos and Baba Kama. Kuf Yudim and Beis the Adata. That's the one that's not on the fish on the Makoros. And we'll move the one that's on the Mara Makomas, which is Ksubas Mem Zayin Amud Beis the Ramaschil Shalom.
That's
above
Baba Kama
Kuf Yudim. Baba Kama Kuf Yudim Beis the Adata. And if you can put on the same screen, if it fits, or split screen, whatever you want to call it. A Tosis and Ksubas Mem Zayin and Beis Shalom. They should both be able to fit on the same screen. I think so. Mem Zayin and Beis. As a matter of fact, I could have saved you time because it was green. Maybe could have pressed that button. Just hit me now. Okay. Can you put them both on the same screen?
Try.
Baba Kama. I don't need other toes. I just need that one toes. Can't split it?
You can make it smaller.
All right. No, I'll take it. You know what? Leave it like this. We'll figure it out. Good. We'll figure it out. Well, I'm totally lost. Well, give me Baba Kama first.
This is Baba Kama?
Good. And we'll do it later. Good. You'll direct. Okay. Nira. Everyone with me so far? We're looking inside. Nira, can you read it? Can everyone read it? It's big print, no? Nira de Menafla min ha Erusin Mayri. What does Erusin mean? There are two stages to marriage. Betrothal. Thank you. Betrothal and full marriage. Erusin is Eishes Ish Bebeis Ha'av. And Nisuin is Eishes Ish Bebeis Ha'av. Dima na Nisuin Vare Mekacha Navsha. Kidei Shitei Nisua Lebala. Why? The Mishum Achar Misas Bala Lo Masko Anavsha Milios Nesua. Because the possibilities are going to take place after her husband dies, she's not going to take them into account if the alternative is that she's not in the Nesua when she's living physically with her husband. Elamina Erisinari. The Mikidushin Ein Lo Shum Tova. For a woman, Kiddushin is very bad. She's prohibited to the entire world under the pain of death. And she has no physical relationship with her husband either. So to suspend an animation. So that's the situation she doesn't want to get into if there's going to be a brother, an ugly duckling, and the whole story. But once she's the sewer, and she enjoys the physical benefits of marriage, she's going to want to be involved in the marriage, notwithstanding the possibility of a brother with Yibam, etc., etc. Yitomar, Odom Shekona Mechaveiro Shum Dover, Viniskalkim. A person buys an object, and down the road it gets ruined. Yevatel hamekach. Can you imagine that? You buy a car. And then a year later, the car, this breaks, that breaks. It breaks the cars. Go back to the seller. I want my money back. Adata the hachi lo kana. Yeah.
One independent, maybe if it's like Shkiach or not.
Okay, it's one possibility. We'll get to that later. Very good. V'yeshloma, the wholesome lav v'lokeach lechudei talya milso. It's not a unilateral act of buying a car. It's bilateral. I can't impose my thought process on you. You're the seller. Ela kamokain bedas mocher. Who mocher aknile adata dahochi. When I sold that car, I said, Boch ship Torani from this car. I got $1,000 for it. And then now that if it breaks, it's not my headache anymore. That's what the seller is thinking. So the buyer can't say, you know what, I only meant if it doesn't break down in the next 2 years. I didn't give you a guarantee, a warranty, nothing. Aval hacha, look, it's very important. The kiddushin b'dida kaima. The status of kiddushin is purely her concern. What? We have to have two to get married? You can't marry yourself. What do you mean it's only her concern? V'hu eino choshesh heich dato liskadesh. He doesn't care. What do you mean he doesn't care? What do you mean he doesn't care? Rabosai, he doesn't care because of Louis the 14th. Who's studying some history here? No one knows any history. French history? All his famous four words. French. No. Until Louis the 14th. The people are rebelling in the streets. It's going to be a disaster. What did he answer? Après moi, le deluge. My French pronounce is not so good. What it really means is, whatever happens, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. As long as I'm alive, Louis the 14th kept it tough. I think it was the 16th, right? Who got beheaded or got overturned? Was Louis the 16th? Who knows any history? Huh? Was it Louis the 16th? I think so. So I think it was his ankle. I don't know what. So he said, as long as I'm alive, something that Mubarak and Gaddafi went zeicha to this, the old Assad in Syria. He said, Aprey Mas. So now it's going to happen with his son. Now we'll see what happens. But he died, and he died in his bed. Not as Louis XIV died in his bed, so too, this guy is marrying this girl. She wants to make conditions in case he predeceases her and he has no children, X, Y, or Z. What do I care? I pray mala deluge. I know it's going to happen after I'm dead. What does he care what goes on after he's dead? After he's dead, he's in Shemayim. He doesn't care what's going on. Follow me? That's you have to read between the lines. That's what Tosis means. Who had a choshe sheikh dat l'iskadesh? What do you mean? As long as it's only not going to affect him, it won't take effect after he's dead. So what does he care after he's dead if his wife is stuck with the yavam? Not stuck with the yavam. He probably would want. He loves his wife. He doesn't want to be stuck with his brother, Mukashrin, whatever it may be. Doesn't affect him in his lifetime. Ki who's there? Nothing. Zero. Everyone following me? That's a shot. And now, fascinatingly, v'chein nami gabi makdish nami b'dido. B'didekoi, v'chein nos and agezel b'didekoi. What's this? Those are the cases in Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud. Let me just tell you how it starts in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud. Fascinating. There's a concept called Gezel Hager. Anybody know what that means? Have you heard of it? Never heard of it. Gezel Hager is a pasuk, I believe in Parshas Noso. If a person steals money from a ger, and the ger dies without any yarshim, so you have to do two things. Well, you have a chumash. Chumash is the important thing. Always good to have a chumash on the desk. Open the chumash. Parshas Naso. Here we go. It says as follows. Isha, Isha. The heishiv es hashama barosho. You pay back the gezel. The chamishi so yosef, you have to add a chomesh. He's all falsely. V'nasim la'asher asham lo. Give it back to the nigzah. V'im ein la'ish goel la'ashi v'asham elav. The man died without relatives. How's that possible? Everyone has relatives. What's the answer? A ger. Ha'asham ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen. Milvad ela kipurim ha'shichapol. We do two things. Give the money to the kohen. You have to bring a korban. End of the parsha. This is what it says. End of the parsha. So Rashi explains, what do you mean that the Elo Yorshim, how can it be? It means what? Ger Shemeis Elo Yorshim. Rashi goes to the Baba Kama, right over here, Nav Kuf Tes. Nav Kuf Yud, the following fascinating Shaila. Nasan as a kesef li anshe mishmar. What do you mean anshe mishmar? Did you learn chumash and Rashi in the first Shabbos? Every single Shabbos, at least it's only in Rashi, you have to learn chumash and Rashi. Do it the whole life. Did the Shulchan Aruch. If you did Rashi this past week Shabbos, you saw anshe mishmar. No, chelak kechelak yochel levabim kar balavos. I just read it. Kohanim, they divide them into mishmaros every week. Different group, the 24 mishmaros, all stored, fine. So I gave the man who stole from the ger has two things to do: to give the money to the anshei mishmar, and to bring a korban. Guess what happens? He brings the money to the anshei mishmar, and then he dies before he has a chance to be mak of the korban. Oh boy, what happens now? Isn't that a great question? What happens now? Do the anshei mishmar keep the money or not? Says the Mishnah, if a person is a Mishnah of Kuf Yudam and Aleph, a person gave the money to the Anshei Mishmar, and then he died. Okay, let's get it straight. Second. Nosan Kesel Anshe Mishmar Umeis. Okay? So then they keep the money. The Kohanim keep the money. Says the Gemara, Omar Abai Shmamina Kesel Mechaper Machza. What do you mean Mechaper Machza? It's a partial kapora by giving the money. Dilo Mechaper Havamina Mahader Liyoshin My Taima Da Data Daha Chilo Yavle. Goes back to the Yoshim of the Gazlan. He never gave the money to the corner without getting a kapara. Frek the Gemara, Ela Meata Chatas Shemesu Baaleha. A person is Maktish the Korban Chatas, and he dies. Tapek Lechulin. Let it go out Lechulin. Why? Tadata Dahachi Lo Afisha. He never would have designated it as a Chatas had he known he was not going to live to be Makavit. Rabosai. What's Tosa saying about these two cases? Makdish of the Chatas and Nosan Gezel, yeah. They're all unilateral. There's no other party affected by this. It's a unilateral thing. I unilaterally decide to be Makdish of Korban Chatas. There's no other person involved. I decide to give back the stolen money to this Kohen. He's not a victim, this Kohen. The victim died already. It's against Gary and Yoshim. It's a windfall profit for this guy, for this Kohen HaMishmar. They have no stake in it as such. So when it's unilateral, these three cases, then it depends upon the das of the single individual who is doing what's being done. Makdish the Korban, giving the money for the Gezel HaGer. What? Marrying the man. All depends upon her, because he doesn't care once he died. Only in these three cases do we say, this yourself. If I press this green, it's going to come out. Whatever. Here it is. What happened over here? Shalokasav la ela manas la konsa. Those of you who have a regular Gemara Ksubas, it's always good to look at real print. At least that's how I feel. Old generation. If you have a real Gemara, look at it in the real Gemara. Those who don't have the real Gemara, we'll see it on screen. Okay, unless you prefer the screen, I take away the option. I'm going to look on the real Gemara. Again, Mem Zion Amud Beis. What's the case? What's the background over here? And what's the Gemara discussing? What's the case? We're discussing the following situation. A man adds to the ksuba. He adds to the ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says in the last line of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, "Minan Nisuin Golva Asakol." If they actually had the marriage completed with Nisuin, she collects everything. Minan Erisin, no, only the minimum. Sulam Asayim Amon Amona. Why the top line of Mem Zayin Amud Beis? Shalokasav La Ela Manas Lekonsa. He only added to the ksuba, expecting to have a complete marriage. Here, where she died before the marriage was completed. It was only Eris and Nisuin. He never intended to give her the extra money. Let's now take a look at Tosfos and Ksubas Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and read it slow. Ein l'tmoa b'svara zos. We shouldn't wonder about the svara. The bekama makomas b'shas matzinu ken. You find it. Doesn't tell you what the kama makomas are for the moment. V'yim tomarim ken kol adam halokeach poro mechavero v'nitrefo mesa anan sade shaloa manas ken l'kocha. Like we saw about bekama, the same thing. So if I buy an animal and it dies, so it became trefa, I should get my money back. Shlama the hosam anan sadi should also suffer kayarotzalikonis. To the contrary, an opposite anan sadi, he was willing to take the chance. Okay, we know that for a fact. Fafiluim omalo im titarif yeshcha the kabel hefset hayaloka. If the seller would tell him, listen, these things happen, he would still buy it. Avalocha lo kosev lo klal kima manas the konsa. Period. That's Tosos' answer. They don't fully explain it yet. What does that mean? That's the look on the Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Osai? Eli, if I want to go to Tzadi Zayin, how do I do that? I can. Ksubas, how do I do it? Just give me a trick. What do I do? You'll help me? You'll help me, okay. Because I'm not mistaken, there's a Tosis on Tzadi Zayin on the Maram HaKomos also, am I correct? What was it? Ketibar Masl? What was it? I don't need Baba Kama. Baba Kama is gone. No more Baba Kama. But the Ksubas, I need this Tosis which you haven't finished yet. And I also need the Tosis in Ksubas Tzadi Zayin. Ketibar Masl what? Who has the Maram HaKomos? Okay, so I need that Tosis.
Yeah.
I need the other Tosis, which I had before. And then.
Yeah.
You'll tell me later how to share it. Good. Well, I want to go into Tzadi Zayin now. First Tzadi Zayin. Good. Thank you. What happened in Tzadi Zayin? So, again, those of us who have real Gemaras can just turn 50 pages from Mem Zayin to Tzadi Zayin and see. Those who don't, there's always a screen. What happened in Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph? An individual, Rabbi Osai, sold something. He sold something. What do you mean he sold something? Haugavra, the Zavin Ara L'Rav Papa, the Itzrichu Le'Zuze L'Mizbin Turin. He sold land to Rav Papa because he needed the money to buy oxen. At the end of the day, he didn't need the money. They didn't want to sell the oxen anymore. What's the scoop? What's the din? Vahadre niele Rav Papa le'are. The question is, did he have to do it? Did he not have to do it? The Fnimishu was a din. A whole story. Okay, let's read the Tosfos now. Zavim v'lo itzchil ezuzi hadri tvini. Everyone see it over here? Those who don't have this Ksubas here, it's on the screen over here. Zavim. See it? This Tosfos. I'm going to try to read it from the hard cover. Forgive me. Hard copy. Uchagon shegila dato bishas hamecher the Omar the Lisbon Turi kozavim lehu. In other words, he tells the seller, listen, do me a favor. I want to sell you my field. I need the money to buy oxen. Di shasik, if he was quiet, havel dvarm shebelev. The guy who sold him the property will say, you never told me you needed the money to buy oxen. I assumed you needed the money just to put in the bank. So therefore, the sale is not invalid. V'chen perik beis de kiddushin, daf mem tes. Gabiahu Garva the Zovin Nichse Adat Alamezel Ara the Israel. A person sold his land, sold his house, because he wants to go on Aliyah. At the end, the Aliyah failed. I guess Nefesh for Nefesh backed out on him or something like that. Says he faced his job, he lost his job, he couldn't go on Aliyah. So he gets his house back. Hosam Nami Bidagoli Daite. He told the buyer that he's selling his house to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Yesh Dvar. She'eino Moel Bem Gilidas Ad She'yasne. You have to have the full Tanai, we call Tanai B'nei Godu B'nei Ruvim, with all the rules and regulations. Kegom. The Maya Mochem Al Bushov Adato LeMesach LeEretz Yisrael. He's selling his jacket because he's going to Eretz Yisrael with his, I guess it's a little, he don't need a jacket there. The Zeo Dover She'ein Regilin Limkor Adato Dachi. People don't normally sell their clothes because they're going in an Aliyah. Hosam Vada in Moel Gilidas. Shim Lo Tomakein, if you disagree with me, Me'ach Shev Ein Tzorach L'Shim Tanai Ela Gilidas B'Alma. You'll never need a proper Tanai. U'v'chol Mokam Bina Dumin Tanai B'nei Goda B'nei Ruvei, all the details Tanai Kofol, etc., etc. Ela Vada Gilidas B'Milse Shem Regilas La'Soskein Lo Mahani Acha Yasta. Okay, so we have two categories now. There are categories where it's frequent that you're going to do it in that fashion. You often sell your house to go to Eretz Yisrael. You often sell your field to buy oxen. So if you enunciate it, even though it's not the full-fledged legalistic form of a Tanai, it suffices. If it's not Shriach, then you require the full-fledged legalistic form called Tanai, B'nei Godu B'nei Ruvein, Tanai Kofel, etc., etc. Fine. And it's a third category. V'yesh Tvarim, Dafilu Gilui Das Ein Tzorach. Kegon. Shtar Mavrachas Daliel B'perek Ha'isha Shen Naflu. Take a look, Rabbi Osai. Ayin Tes. Oh, you don't have Gemaras. Those of you who have Gemaras, look. Ayin Tes Oman Alf. So this week, Ksubas, every day Ksubas this week. You have to have it every day. We're going to be in Ksubas. That's a lot to find in Gemara, guys. If you find Gemara, the big, mid-size, we'll have the Mefarsh in the back. It's fun to get such a Gemara. What's a Shtam Avrachas, Rabbi Osai? What's a Shtam Avrachas? The Gemara has it on the fifth line of Ayin Tes Aleph Aleph. Im Yovo Shtam Avrachas Liyodi Ekreenu. I'd rip it up. What do you mean I'd rip it up? What do the words mean? What's a Shtam Avrachas? So take a look on the Gemara on Ayin Chesem Ed Beis, the last 2.5 lines. Hai Itza Deboya De Tavrachinu Lenichsa Migavra. She wants to hide her possessions from her husband, because once she marries him, it's going to be his, become his to some extent. What she do? Kasvisinu Librata. She sold all, she brought a gift certificate. All of her properties are given to her daughter. Rashi explains, Lavriach Schutz Bala Mehem, Shlo Yiska Behem, Vodia Leedim, Shein Matana Zu Matana, Lavriach, Veloshe Tiska Behem Abbas, in Tis Almenio Tis Garish. If she ends up becoming widowed or divorced, she wants the fields back. She's just trying to get it out of the clutches of her new husband. She gives it to her daughter. In Tsava Vigarsha, she got married, she got divorced. Top of Ayin Tes Aleph Aleph, Asar the Kamei Rav Nachman, Kari Rav Nachman the Shtar, he ripped it up. She, the daughter, produced this document, and he ripped it up because it's clearly never meant to be. What do you mean? There wasn't even a verbal enunciation of why she was doing it. The answer is clear as day. Since when, as a woman, give her possessions to a daughter? Let's give away all your possessions to a daughter. Not normal. It must be, it's obvious. Anan said she did it just in order to escape the clutches of the husband. And she never really meant that it should really fully belong to the daughter. That's Shtam Avrachas. That's a very important one that applies in today's world. We shall see. Okay. What's the second example? Back of Tosas and Ksubas, Daf Sadi Zion. You will have it in front of you, either on the screen or in the Gemara itself. V'chein ha'i b'perek mishameis, the Tanya, harei shaholach b'no l'mdina sayam, v'shoma shameis b'no, Nebuch. He heard that his only son died at sea, or at some far-flung province. V'omad v'kosav kol nechosav l'acherim. He wrote a document bequeathing or giving all of his possessions to other people. Nebuch, he had one son, the son died, and he wants to make sure he doesn't die intestate. So he gave all of his possessions to tzedakahs, to friends, to neighbors, to whoever he wanted to give it to. V'chakach bo b'no, the dead man showed up. Supposed to be dead. He walks in there. Hi, Dad. Ro'ov fanecha lo filolti. I never expected to see you again. I thought you were dead. He is so overjoyed that Baruch Hashem, his son is alive. I'm sure he makes a kiddush. But all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, I gave away my possessions. Whoa, I'm destitute. Right? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Asi Omer, Ein matanosu matono, biyodua shemhoyodea shebenokayim lohoyakosev. Obvious, had he known that his son was alive, he never would have written it. Everyone, the Rabbi said there are three different levels. Keep it in mind. If it's not very frequent, you need a Tanai Kofel. If it's very frequent, it's enough just to enunciate it. And if it's clear as day, you wouldn't want it otherwise, you don't have to say a word. It's obvious. Three levels. Okay, Rabbi said we're done with Tzadi Zion for the moment. I have to go back to Mem Zion. Give me some instructions here. How do I get to Mem Zion? On the bottom? Oh, it says Beferish, you're right. Mem Zion on the base. Thank you. Magic. Okay. Here we are. Mem Zion and Beis. How far did we get? We're up to this line. Those who don't have. That's the Gemara of Tzadi Zion. Oh. Now we go back to the Baba Kam. The Tosis and Ksuba calls Baba Kam. Vosai, everyone look inside. Mem Zion and Beis. For the Pork, Perak, Sofa, Gozal Kama. Yevah Moshenaf leMukashchin, Tepik below Chalitza, that after the Hachi lo Kitcha, Afal Gav de Baoso Savik Mistama, Hoyse Nechnes is Bishas Kiddushin. Hey, wouldn't she want it? She's at the time of a marriage. Hey, who says they want to have children together? B, who says that her husband will die before her? C, who says her husband will die before the brother? Three Svekas at least. Right? So she's not thinking about that. She'd want to marry him no matter what. Omar ben Yitzchak, to lo parech hasam ele mishum davi dumya dika omar hasam nasam kesel yanche mishmu meis shushalahem umasik hasam shram na kesel mechapa machza dila mechapa lema da data dachi lo yoiv to hoa veno tole le ben no saint unilateral yesh lano lelechas achad dato vechemen shebo tolui. Vaday ain't wrote so they call it b'shem suffik. You don't want to get involved in any shilas, any doubts. For lo dami lo keachepet v'ira bo ones. The lo armina da ta ta dachi lo kono umevat la mekach. No, they natole b'dasav kono levado to yikanami dasak makne shloya maklo lidato. I'm not going to sell you something with the condition that if the case it gets lost, you can go back on the sale. It's ridiculous. Im lo yifarish, if you make a tzadik kofel, lahachi parak shabim yivama shenafle mukashchin should there be da tluyan akidushin? Why? In Baba Kama he explains it. Here he explains it. Shebarulanu shuhu lo yaake b'shvil shemdavar sheira achar misaso kienachoshesh b'ma sheira achar. Louis XIV. Not his name is Louis. His name is Chaim, but the same mentality. Up when why? After I die, it doesn't matter what happens to me in the world. Ulahachi, look at this critical last line of Tosis. Lo parich meisha shenasa bala balmum. A woman's husband became a balmum. Tepik below get the adata the hachi lo kitchenavsha. She wouldn't have ever married had she known she's going to become a balmum, a bal mukashkin or whatever. No. Keva the Toli Nami Bidasa Mekadesh, he's alive. Can you imagine? Just think about this for a minute. Now the Catholics say lahavdil elif elfi abdulis. Have you ever seen the movies with the Catholics say it under their vows? Right? They say, in sickness and in health till death do us part. Something like that. I haven't been in the movies in a long time. Something along those lines, right? So he says, Mefarish, in sickness and in health. Can you imagine a Jewish woman, she marries a man, and he gets sick? I'm out of here. I never would have married you. I know you've gotten sick. That's ridiculous. No such thing. No such thing. Why? Came in the toilet, and that's the guy. What am I, chopped liver? The guy says, I got sick. I need to take care of me. Nurse me back to good health. You're going to run away from me. V'chein kol hano d'maisi hosam ain't tole lebedaito. Gezel hager and chatas shemesa, etc., etc., etc. Ad kindness tosis. But basically, we're laying the groundwork for the whole week of Shia. These are the foundations. Everyone with me so far? You see it? Klar? Now you know why it's on the Mount of Congress, it's Tosis. And the other Tosis. They're all critical Tosis to see the basics, the building blocks of the Shia, which we're going to be continuing in Mitzvah Shem the next few days.
Abby?
Yes?
What's he saying at the end of that? Why can't you say that she would never marry him?
That depends upon her. It takes two to tango. It's a bilateral agreement. How can she have the chutzpah to say, I wouldn't have married him, I know he would get sick? Isn't he a player too? What would he say? Chana's marrying you, but you should know, Reuven, if you get sick, she's going to abandon you. What? Who would get married like that? Yes?
Isn't getting sick not from the beginning?
Not from the beginning, right.
But then let's say something like there's known history of like cancer in a family.
Right.
What about that? Can you say that maybe, if they didn't know about that, that could be like a mental toast?
I don't think so. It's true there's cancer in the family. People are marrying individuals with cancer in the family on a daily basis. Take the chances. Is it advisable or not advisable? Love conquers all. Whoever's dealt with this knows. You tell, don't marry him. Don't marry her. They're not listening. They're falit, as we say in Yiddish. They're in love. And love conquers all. Okay? Rabosai. Now, going back to our discussion. Oh. There's an important Tosis Arush that I asked you to see in Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud. Do we have Tosis Arush on Bar Ilan? Anybody know if we have it? Yes?
It's online.
I said, that's more complicated. Maybe tomorrow. I'll tell you today. If you want someone to bring it tomorrow to look at it on some other device. Okay? The Tosis Arush, Nav Kuf Yud. We don't have Tosis Arush. It's Shita Bekubetzis. Shita Bekubetzis is on Bar Ilan?
No.
Also not? Shita Mekubetzis is a very famous sefer. Okay. You'll find out tomorrow if it's on or not. The Shita Mekubetzis, as I asked you to see in the Ma'am HaKomas, Baba Kamadav Kuf Yud, asked the following question. He said, we saw before in Baba Kamatosis, that we're talking about Kiddushin and not Nisuin. You know why? Suggest the Tosis Arush, quoted by Shita Mekubetzis. Because once they were married, we have another very, very important principle. We saw the principle a little bit yesterday, a little bit, and the principle is going to be a critical principle in all of our analysis of this issue, of the possibility of Kiddushe Tos. It runs counter to a very, very important Yisrael, the Tanya Vamas, Tav Kuf Zayin Amadav. Open up to Kuf Zayin. Everyone has to go about Yavamas, Baruch Hashem. Kuf Zayin Amadav. Everyone please look there. Everybody look. Kuf Zayin Amadal. On the Makaros. I'm only accepting one half a line over here. The Gemara says, Ein Tanai B'Nisuin. That's the first Gemara after the Mishnah. And one of the reasons given is, Fisha'ein Adam Osa B'Iloso Bilas Nus. A person does not want to be involved in an intimate relationship without benefit of marriage. And that's why, says the Tosfos to Rosh, what about Shita Mekubetzes? Once is Nisuin, the man will say, no, it affects me. And even if the man dies first and goes to Shamayim, so Tosfos, he doesn't care what happens after his death. That's true. This happened before his death. What do you mean before his death? He lived with his wife, his man and wife, for 50 years of marriage. And now you're going to tell me that we weren't married for 50 years. I'm going to go get pension in Gehenna for 50 years of living with a woman out of wedlock. I'm not interested in that. That's what the Rosh says. That's such a powerful point. Such a powerful point that the Rebbe Kivager on this Tosfos in Ksubas Mem Zayin asked the question, how come Tosfos didn't say that? Tosfos gave a different reason why once is Nisuin, we no longer apply this principle. If you remember what Tosfos said, because there were certain benefits that accrued from that point and on, I'll just read the lashon of the Tosfos one more time in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Just read it one more time, the lashon. Whatever Tosfos says, he doesn't say this. Tosfos' lashon is, the mikidushin ein la shum tova. By Nisuin, she has a tova. What are you giving that reason for? Says Rebbe Kivager. Because the more obvious reason of the Russian in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud as quoted in the Shita, because he won't agree. He'll be retroactively guilty of 50 years of bias nus every time he lives with his wife. No one wants that. No one wants that. So the Yeshua's Yaakov is in Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. Kuf Nun Zayin is a very critical siman. I don't know if you've seen the Maamar Komas yet, but tomorrow we have to get to Kuf Nun Zayin. Vineta says when Tosfos gave this answer over here of Nisuin is a certain tova, that's before they gave the second answer. It depends upon him, depends upon her. And once they gave the answer, it depends upon both parties. Even Tosfos agreed with the Rosh that the reason Nisuin is different is to avoid Bilas Znus. However, let me end the shiur with the following thing which may knock your socks off. Rabosai, everybody in this room I hope knows by now, you better know by now, that for a man and a woman to live together without marriage is prohibited. I hope you know that, guys. That's even if she's not a need or whatever, prohibited. Why? Why is it prohibited? Why is it prohibited? Anybody know why? You were just taught, Baruch Hashem, you were taught well by your parents, by your rabbis. You know, you can't do this. But Johnny in the street is doing it, the guy. You can't do that. You're a Torah Jew. You can't do it. Why? Yeah.
Isn't there a law that relations to somebody who's not your wife?
Where does it say that? Where's this law?
Is it
nus? Where does it say that? It's nus. It's nus. That's the word that everyone was taught and used. Chalila is nus. But where does it say it? Guess where? Of course, in this week's parsha, like everything else. And guys, this week's, if you're not going to do Chumash Rashi, any other parsha, but this week you certainly have to do it. Yibam is here, everything is here, marriage is here, divorce is here, everything is in this week's parsha. Okay? There was a pasuk in this week's parsha, Rabbi Osai. I'll read you the pasuk. The Rambam interprets this pasuk in this fashion, in the fashion that you just said. Pasha's Ki Seitze. Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Lo Siyeh Kedesha Mibnos Yisrael. Lo Yiyeh Kodesh Mibnei Yisrael. I'm reading the English, the article in English. There shall not be a promiscuous woman among the daughters of Israel, and there shall not be a promiscuous man among the sons of Israel. According to the Rambam, a man lives with a woman without marriage, he's in violation of this Pasuk. Issa Daraisa, yes.
But even if they're living as a,
that's right. What happened if they're not promiscuous? What do you mean promiscuous? I'm not promiscuous. I'm going steady. Do they still use those words now? They used to talk about those words a long time. I'm going steady. Or common law marriage. They quote, we're living together, right? Not promiscuous. Chas v'shalom promiscuous. So what would you say? Would I apply or not apply?
What's the definition of pilegesh?
Oh, what a great kasha. Pilegesh. Isn't it pilegesh mutter? According to the Rambam, Pilegesh is Asur min HaTorah.
A melech
it's mutter, which is very strange. We read last week, a melech has more restrictions than a hedger. What happened over here? All these questions are great, but I'm out of time. So then tomorrow, we will continue with all these. Remind me to tell you why it's possible that even though if a man lives with a woman without marriage, he's in violation every time they have bia, but if 50 years they're married together, thinking that they are married, and at the end of the day, it turns out they're not married because he died without children, we don't say retrospectively it was an issue of bia slos. Perhaps. Believe that tomorrow we'll discuss this issue. Okay. A happy Labor Day to one and all. Tomorrow we go back to regular schedule.